Dark City Radio, Dark City Show. We will just jump in a little other subject for a little while, because we have Kevork Elmasias from Lebanon on the line, and he flee from Syria, and he is a journalist who lives actually in Lebanon. But he know a lot about what is really going on in Syria. And please, Kevork, can you talk a little bit about the actual situation, what Obama is doing, how the situation is developing?
First of all, good evening, guys. I'm in Lebanon since 2 years ago. I came and did my master's here. The actual situation is that the United States tried to push the Syrian army into a war of attrition with armed militias in Syria, and these armed militias were not existed before this so-called revolution, which they called it a peaceful revolution at the beginning, and which they claim to become an armed revolution, which is untrue, because on the second day of the so-called revolution, which was on March 17, 2011, two security personnel have been slaughtered in Dara. So the revolution didn't start peacefully, and the government responded on the so-called rebels with fire. And this situation deteriorated because the Gulf states, the Persian Gulf states, especially Qatar and Saudi Arabia, they decided to overthrow the President Bashar al-Assad because for energy reasons, because as we know, Qatar was trying to convince President Bashar al-Assad to allow the Gulf pipelines of Qatar to move from Qatar to Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, and from Syria to Turkey, and from Turkey to Europe. And this was basically targeting the Russian interests, because the Russians were the main suppliers of gas to Europe. And since President Bashar al-Assad and his governments are strategic allies with Russia, they refused these proposals by Qatar. And now the situation went worse, and the Gulf states armed the Syrian opposition. Not only the Syrian opposition, but also they sent foreign mercenaries to Syria. Lakhdar Ebrahimi, the special envoy to Syria, he was the UN special envoy. He said that 40,000 foreign fighters are now in Syria. They are coming from all over the world, from Tunisia, from Libya, and from Turkey. But the main entrance of these jihadists, so-called jihadists, are from Turkey. Now, the problem with Turkey is the same with Qatar. And the Erdogan government, which is an Islamist government, since the beginning of the uprising, they told President Bashar al-Assad to give one-third of the government to the Muslim Brotherhood. But the Muslim Brotherhood is banned in Syria because all religious and sectarian political parties are banned inside Syria. Mm-hmm. Not only for the Islamist parties, but also you can't create, for example, a Christian political party. It should be a national political parties, not religious parties, because the religious political parties are always in a fight between each other, and this secular government, they know the consequences of allowing such parties to operate in Syria. And now the strongest military wing inside the Syrian opposition are the Muslim Brotherhood, which is basically funded and armed by Qatar and Turkey, and also the Jabhat al-Nusra, which recently declared its engagement with Al-Qaeda organization in Iraq under the leadership of the leader of Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. And now the Syrian government, also with its allies, especially Hezbollah. Hezbollah recently, within the last few weeks, entered to Homs, to suburb of Homs, which is on the borders with Lebanon, because there are basically 22 Lebanese villagers on the borders, but they are on the Syrian territories because the borders between Syria and Lebanon is not drawn well. And there are Lebanese living inside these villages. So Hezbollah intervened to protect these villages from the attacks of the so-called Free Syrian Army. And now a lot of clashes happening between the Lebanese Hezbollah and also the so-called Free Syrian Army. But on the
Hezbollah just say I think yesterday that they support Assad. That is a big hit for U.S. and the whole Western world who support the so-called rebels.
Yes, yesterday, for the first time, the Secretary General of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, declared for the first time that they are in Syria and they are protecting the villages and some Shiite places. And he said that we will never allow Syria to fall in the hands of the Wahhabis and Takfiris and the Israelis in Syria. And he said there is a very important phrase in his speech that until this moment there weren't any Iranian presence inside Syria. He said until this moment. This gives us an indication that there could be an Iranian presence in the future because the Persian Gulf states already decided to go in this war to the end, and this is a dead end, and no one is willing to compromise because it is a win-lose situation, and one side should become victorious at the end of the day because it is a proxy war. Some people call it an internal uprising, but if we check the history of the revolutions, we never saw such a direct foreign assistance to the Syrian opposition, both by the United States and Turkey and all the allies in the region. Now we are surrounded by Turkey, Jordan, and North Lebanon, because North Lebanon is basically under the control of Future Movement. The Future Movement is headed by Saad Hariri, and Saad Hariri is also an ally of United States. So we are surrounded by three states who are sending weapons and also mercenaries, except Iraq, who the Iraqi army is also fighting these jihadi and Salafi elements on the borders, and they are not allowing them to enter Syria or vice versa, because some of them are escaping the war zone to Iraq.
Main goal of CIA, also like I posted a video today, that the plan was to go to Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, what was on it, and then of course Iran. So the plan is to go through Syria to Iran. Iran is still supporting Syria Assad or not?
Yes, actually they are supporting it. And as far as I know, that there are Iranian advisors in Syria to give advices how to manage the war, because a lot of intelligence agencies are already in Syria. Some of them entered under the label of journalists, but many of them are already spies and supplying the Free Syrian Army with intelligence information. I met the independent correspondent in Syria. He was on the borders with Turkey in Antakya, basically, and he told me that he saw with his own eyes that missiles coming from Turkey to Syria, and these are basically anti-aircraft missiles from Qatar. And when he asked the rebels that, is it in the Qatari government who is sending these weapons, they told him, no, it is Qatari businessmen, not the Qatari government. We know quite well that the Qatari there's no Qatari, all the Qatari businessmen are from the ruling family there, so this is an ironic for us to believe it.
Kevork, I just want to make a quick information for the listeners who don't maybe don't know what is really going on in Syria. Syria, there was uprising, revolution. Some people they rise up and they get supported from the Western countries and send weapons and mercenaries into Syria to take down Assad. What we are hearing on the Western media is that there is a real revolution going on, and that Assad is in our media's declared as a dictator sometimes and sometimes not. Now, what is really going on, and the ones who observe that kind of game that the CIA is playing since a while, they know that they want to go to Syria for any price, and they want to go further also to Iran to put more pressure on the whole Chinese stuff. Now, the question what I think many listeners have is what is about the chemical weapons? The ones who are a little bit awake, they know that it's like the same trick they used in Iraq, and they want to use the same trick now to go to Syria. Can you tell more about the chemical weapons?
The problem of the chemical weapons is that they say that the Syrian army used sarin gas in some villages. I was reading about the sarin gas, and if you used a very small amount of sarin gas in any village, this village is in a population of 50,000 people, it would kill minimum 30,000 people. And when they published pictures of the so-called infected people by this sarin gas, they showed us doctors actually healing those who were affected by the so-called sarin. And if you go and read about sarin gas, even the doctors cannot touch the infected people because it is very dangerous chemicals, and it will also infect you. And basically in Syria, they are looking for any pretext to intervene. Now, they always said we have a red line. The red line is the chemical weapons. And if the government used it, I mean, if the government have warplanes, tanks, and everything to, and they are able to manage this war very in a very good way. Until this moment, we have the Syrian army didn't went fragmented, as they said that it will fall within 2 or 3 months. And we are seeing now a lot of people going as volunteers to the Syrian army. So the issue of chemical weapons is like just like Iraq, it is only a pretext, because the Syrian government knows quite well that it will lose even the Russian stance and the Russian support and the Chinese support if they use it. And and in my own opinion, if you consider whether you consider it a dictatorship or not, but the Syrian government is rational enough, and they were very professional in managing the international relations. We know that since 40 years, since the beginning of this regime, and they were managing the regional and international issues quite well, and they were they represented a very good an enmity to the American interest in the Middle East. So now, as I said before, the chemicals are used as a pretext to intervene in Syria, but they have no evidence about it. If they have any, even 1% evidence, the NATO will not stay silent on it, and the Russians will not be able to veto on it, because the whole international community will be on the rebel side.
Mm-hmm. Could the rebel use the chemical weapons? I saw some videos where the rebels was preparing some sarin gas, I think, or I don't know, in a laboratory. Could the rebel use?
The rebels controlled a small company in the northern part of Syria, and there are some chemical materials, but you can't use them as a weapon. They use the chlorine as a weapon. They put a warhead and they put inside it in chlorine. And when this missile was exploded in one of the villages in Aleppo, it caused some deaths, especially between the animals, I guess, because it fell in a place where a lot of ships were existed. So I don't think the rebels have chemicals now, but they are using some chemical materials, but it is not in conventional or traditional chemical weapons. The international community neither will supply them with chemical weapons, because this the so-called Free Syrian Army is very fragmented. They have over 35 brigades. They are all in conflict between each other, and there is no harmony, no one leadership, no one leader, no each brigade is under the patronage of one state. So, for example, the Turkish have some brigades under their control, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, each state has their own brigades, and they are basically serving the interests of these states.
We have a question from Phil.
Hi, Kavar. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And hi, Kavar.
Good evening.
Yeah, initially I was going to comment on the capitalist and miniaturist thing, but I didn't know Kavar was coming on, and there's a lot of relevant stuff in there. The first thing I was going to say, Jab has covered the Wesley Clark video. This guy's a US four-star general, and the video is about them attacking seven countries in 5 years, Syria being one.
Exactly.
The other thing I wanted to mention was a video Stefan Molyneux just put out, 10 Years of Hell, a sort of a statistical analysis of everything that's been done in Iraq over the last 10 years. What I really wanted to touch on, though, was maybe a couple of possible solutions to well, not solutions, but things that you and I can do. You know, there's a
about Syria, you mean?
Yeah, well, just about their behavior in general. I mean, Jabba, you touched as well on this thing about the weapons of mass destruction excuse, false flag thing to kind of justify these kind of invasions and everything. Now, of course, what isn't in the media is stuff about the depleted uranium bullets and that, which is equally as an illegal weapon, you know, as any of these chemical weapons that they're talking about. Now, of course, the UN, they've tried to bring America to, you know, to book about it, but they're so kind of powerful within the UN that they don't even bother responding to any of these things. I mean, it's just a complete double standard. But what I thought we could do is, there's a saying that, in, you know, the ordinary people don't cause wars.
Kevork?
Yes, I have I have two things to add, actually. First, the Wesley Clark, when he said that they are going to occupy several states within a few years, and actually Colin Powell, when he was the foreign minister of Secretary of State of the United States, he came in 2003 after the occupation of Iraq to Damascus, and he gave a plan for President Bashar al-Assad, and he told them he has to commit himself to this plan, otherwise they will intervene in Syria. But the Syrians at that time, they supported the Iraqi resistance in Iraq, and they make the Americans sink in the souls of Iraqis. Afterwards, I think the Americans, in my opinion, they made some modification on this plan. And instead of entering Syria with military force, you have to change your conventional tactics into unconventional tactics. And this is the fourth generation of asymmetric warfare. It was also explained by one of the American generals and the CIA intelligence agent. He said that from now on, we don't need to use our armies. We don't have to send our troops into the Middle East. The main issue is to create a chaos inside this inside a society, and to make a strife and make the people fight each other. And when you support one of the sides, which is the pro-American side, in this case the Free Syrian Army, And then when they are victorious, you will guarantee your interest without without sending any soldier. And now the Free Syrian Army, I don't know if they are aware about it or not, but they are basically fighting for the Americans, because when you overthrow this government, the first thing will happen is that the upcoming government will make a peace with the Zionist state, and then they will allow the reconstruction of this state by the IMF and other Gulf states. If you see now the economy of Egypt, they are under the mercy of the Qatari ruler. How? These people, they also made a revolution. It was a genuine revolution. But then the regional governments, they hacked this revolution, and now Egypt turned into a big economic debt. They have a big economic debt. They need billions of dollars to recover, and the Qataris are paying them with, they are giving them carrots and also sticks, because it is a politics, you know, there is nothing for free.
Yeah, and also the IMF is going to Egypt, and that is also the plan to install that a little bit everywhere. I think the only country where IMF is not is in Cuba, in North Korea, and in Western Sahara. We have some minutes left. Can you talk a little bit about people don't know what Syria is? Can you a little bit talk about what the situation, what Bashar, Bashar is doing? Who he is and how do people perceive Bashar?
The Syrian society now is divided. I think it's 50-50, almost 50-50. But those who were supporting the rebels now, even though they are opposing the Syrian government, but they are not with the Free Syrian Army, because we were aiming to replace this government in a peaceful way without this old bloodshed, because we destroyed the whole construction of Syria, the infrastructure and everything. Just today, the big bridge of Deir ez-Zor has been destroyed by the rebels, by Libyan mercenaries, and it was one of the most beautiful places in Syria, and they also destroyed one of the most beautiful mosques in Aleppo. So now the people saw that while they were opposing the Syrian government, but at the same time, those who are coming to replace this government is much worse than it, and we prefer to live in a secular under secular government rather than religious Islamist. Because look, we are not talking about Islam. Political Islam is very different from Islam, and these people are bringing an ideology which is very very bizarre for us. We are not used to live under a Wahhabi or Al Qaeda ideology. You are either with us or against us, because now when you were opposing the Syrian government, they were sending you to jail, okay? But these people, when you are opposing them, they are killing you, they are slaughtering you. And we are now in a very big confusion, and people start to think that what should we do now? We either side with the Syrian state or with Al Qaeda. You don't have a third option. You know, if there is a third option, people will choose it. But now we have to stand with the side of the Syrian state and the Syrian army. We have to fight this terrorism until end, because if we leave the country for these Islamist elements, the whole upcoming generations will grow up in a very radical ideology, and the upcoming generations will be useless for the country. Within only 10 years, President Bashar al-Assad constructed a private university. He entered all the technology and stuff to Syria. I studied myself in Syria. I didn't face any harassment by the Syrian intelligence. I was writing politics every day on Facebook. No one said, shut your mouth. But when you impose a threat on the security of the state by collaborating with foreigners, because this state is a security state, you can't just, it is not easy to speak with, let's say, the Americans or the Israelis, or to make some channels with them. They will send you to jail directly. Mm-hmm. And now the oppositions who claim to be an opposition, they are now outside Syria. if they are, if they want to build the future of the Syria, also the civilized oppositions, not the armed opposition, should return to Syria. And I urge the Syrian government to allow them to return, because we have to solve this problem via dialogue, because neither Russia nor the United States are aiming now to finish this bloodshed. It is a proxy war, and both sides are fighting for their interests at the expense of our bloods. And we need to stop this, because hundreds of thousands of people has been displaced. 100,000 has been killed until this moment from both sides. And the priority should be now to stop the bloodshed and then to think for a political solution, because whether if Bashar al-Assad stayed or not, it's not the question. If there is a destroyed country, whoever ruled it, how can you rule the country on all this mess? I mean, if a Superman came and ruled the country, he would not be able to build anything, because the economy is now down and everything is destroyed, and you need the money. So you need the stability first to start building. I mean, we need 20 or maybe 30 years to build this country again.
Mm. Kevork, we will let you go sleep. It's already late in Lebanon, and I hope you come back to the radio. I see some people would have some questions, but I think we should continue, because we jump in a little program with a completely different subject. There is an interview with Kevork on Babylon Decoded YouTube, 1 hour. Kevork, will you come back another time to talk more about it?
For sure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And we'll talk to you very soon. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. Bye. Thank you.